All right.
Here we go.
Welcome back to another episode of the Merge Feast. I am Blake, joined by Logan and Brandon. Welcome back, guys.
How are you doing this
Hello.
Week?
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I am a little perturbed after this episode. I am frustrated and annoyed and a little confused. So I know we'll get to all of it, but am I the only one feeling this way, or are you guys kind of leaving this episode feeling the same?
No, I think I've got some of the same feelings, but definitely want to dive into it.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's a lot to get into because it was the ending was definitely not really what I had anticipated. So let's hash it out.
I like it. All right. So we get back from last week's tribal, get back to camp, and it is just the Q aftermath. I mean, everything kind of just crumbled around Q. And I feel like I knew it would. Was there anything about all of the aftermath with Q that surprised you guys at all?
I don't think so. I feel like I was fully expecting everybody to come back and be like, what just happened? I wasn't even really surprised that Q wasn't around. He was off by himself. And then obviously Tiffany going and talking to him. I fully expected that, but.
Yeah, I was not surprised at all. And I think the way that everybody handled it, especially Tiffany, was warranted because it was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in Survivor, the way that he handled himself.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, even throughout the episode, everybody kept kind of poking jabs at Q. So it was, I was happy with the way everybody responded.
There were two things that I was a little surprised at. The main one was Liz feeling like she kind of is lost in the game because Q overshadowed her move. And I'm trying to think of how to word this. I don't know if I'm way off base here, so reel me back in if I am. But I kept thinking, it reminded me of that I think Liz is a little bit out of touch in the game. Because I kept thinking, why does it matter if people see your move yet? You know you made that move, and you can speak to how you made that move. Why, with 9 players left, does it have to be, oh, Liz, that was such a great move? Like, that's the perfect time to keep making moves while you're under the radar. And it just reminded me that she's probably not going to ever be, even if she continues the way she was, just the way she reacted to that. Like, man, I don't know that you're going to be one of the greats. And I knew that based on how she had played the first half of the season, but I don't know. I was a little surprised that she was, you know, so hurt in the fact that nobody recognized her in that move.
I think you're spot on of her kind of being out of touch, but it kind of plays to her game of being, she's been under the radar, and I mean, she's been under the radar. She's, in my eyes, really had done nothing in the game before the Tevin vote. And I don't know why she's concerned about it either, because number one, it doesn't matter now. Number two, there's a handful of people that know that she led that vote. So I don't know why she's so concerned about it.
I feel like anytime somebody makes a move, they always want to have that seen. And like Brandon said, in this instance, I think there were a couple people that realized or knew that she was the one that orchestrated that. But I feel like any people want to be seen or known that they've made those moves. In her instance, I definitely think she should have, like you said, like taken a step back and say, okay, I can speak to that. There are these people that know that. Let me continue this while I'm under the radar. So I don't know.
And even if they don't know, kind of what you were getting at, Blake, like let's say she gets the final tribal council, like, okay, that's now where you can speak to it and convince people that you did that or not convince people. But she's going to have an opportunity, and it does suck that Q did kind of take the spotlight in the tribal council where she did make a move. So I kind of get it, but at the same time, she's going to have another opportunity, and she needs to do more and build her resume anyway. I think if she gets to the end and the Tevin vote is like her thing, like nobody's going to care.
For sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you also kind of got to think about on the flip side of like, oh, like wanting the recognition and stuff, but also how they are in the game. I mean, it was mentioned multiple times that she hadn't eaten in 72 hours. And so she's probably exhausted and did all of this work and just wanted something there. And then it was just seemed like it was just all brushed under the rug. So emotions, that side of things, obviously they're not clear headed if she hasn't had food. And obviously there's a lot that goes into it, but I don't know if that makes sense at all.
No, it does. And you guys could probably speak to this better than I could just because you've watched some of the old seasons more recently. But I feel like this is a new era phenomenon, meaning in the new era, and maybe this is because the game is so much shorter and so much faster paced, but people want to be recognized when they make big moves. And they want to have a target on their back, where I feel like in a lot of the older seasons that was looked at on like, perfect, I made that move and nobody knew it was me that like came up with the whole idea, time to set up my next move. And using that as an advantage that nobody knows you're a threat, and then be able to speak to that at the end, where I haven't really gotten that vibe in the new era.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think, and Logan, you can either confirm this or tell me I'm wrong, but I feel like in the early seasons, it was like they valued immunity wins more than anything else. And that was like, you know, Terry or Tom or Colby. Colby's going to win because he's winning all these challenges, and that's the jury's going to like that. And I think now it is definitely like, I got to make a big flashy move so the jury sees that. And, you know, if I don't win immunity, like who cares? That's not the main point of the game.
No, I would agree with that, Brandon. I think it was looked at so much for like immunity, like you said, for that back in the very early seasons. And I think maybe that speaks to Survivor and how the game's evolved, obviously. As things go on, people make moves, people play like people, like previous players, as the game moves on. And it's always changing. And obviously, new season or the new era has really changed the game up. But I feel like that speaks to how Survivor has changed, and with there being other things in the game like idol or hidden immunity idols and all of these other things, you've got to make yourself known rather than just, oh, I just won all these challenges, because there are so many of these other things. This person found an immunity idol, this person did this, so it's not just maybe so one-dimensional as it was in the beginning. And obviously still very complex, but there wasn't as much to be recognized on as in the early seasons, where it was just the challenges.
No, that's true. And the fact that the game is so much more fast paced, and I mean, it's what, 26 days instead of 40. I mean, that's a significant. Yeah.
Actually,
technically,
I think there was a couple that was 40.
There was Survivor Australia was like 42 days, but that was okay, the only difference.
But I mean, that's a significant time difference for the same amount of players. So some of that I get, but I don't know. I was just a little, I'm always a little surprised when I feel like we have two different, completely different styles of play. And I'm ready for that to kind of merge together a little bit. And I don't quite feel like we're there just yet. I do enjoy seeing how Survivor has evolved over the years. That has been a lot of fun, and I do really enjoy that. But I think I'm ready for people to start maybe going, not necessarily back to how it used to be played, but taking some of that strategy, and not even necessarily the first 5 or 10 seasons, but just kind of that older school mentality to the new school game.
Yeah. I actually would think kind of if like looking at Hunter's game, I actually think he kind of had an old school vibe to his game.
For sure.
He was very,
I would agree,
challenge focused, and people saw that as a threat. We didn't really see his strategy, like, not to say that he wasn't strategic, but he held his cards close to his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really know what was going on with Hunter. So I think it's there. I think just like Hunter's game, while like I think he's a great player, and I obviously like you picked him as your winner, so you do too. I just think like Hunter is not really like TV, TV, where like Tevin, Ben, Kinsey, like maybe not the physical threats, but definitely like entertaining players strategically and socially, and that's just where the game has shifted. But I'm with you. I would be cool to see a balance of old school and new school kind of come together.
Just throwing this out here real quick. Said your winner pick. I just wanted to point it out that it was your second winner pick. So
too soon.
Things are going great. I've been there. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the challenge, there was a really funny moment that I was cracking up at. And it's when, I forget who else was there, but it was Venus and Hunter. And when Hunter told Venus that she is always mad, that whole interaction there, and I forget exactly how it went, but I was dying laughing. And it didn't work out for him, obviously, but it's like, good for you for standing up to Venus and calling her out on some of her.
And he, I feel like he did it so nonchalantly, just like said it and kept going. It was like, he just didn't care about her reaction.
It was awesome. I loved it. Well, that was, unless I'm just missing something, that was pretty much all that was really talked about before the challenge, and I guess slightly before the challenge, they got tree mail that talked about having three teams of three. Logan, do you want to talk about how they decided those teams, and then Brandon kind of walk us through the challenge?
Yeah, so you got the tree mail. They were all kind of just standing around talking and read the three teams of three. And then it almost seemed like, and we get kind of an explanation later in the seat or in the episode, it almost seemed like everybody was just like, I want to work with you. Tiff and Kinsey were always like, they're super close. And then it was like, Ben was like, I haven't worked with Tiffany and Kinsey before. You guys want to work? Okay, great. And then Hunter was like, I want to work with Charlie and Maria. And it was just kind of an odd, I thought there might have been more banter of like, no, I want to work with this person and all. So, and then the obviously Liz, Venus, and Q. But it did it seem kind of odd to you? It just kind of fell into place fairly nonchalantly.
I think, yeah, I do feel like it was odd that there wasn't any sort of pushback, but it was definitely like everybody doing their best to not be on Q's team was what I was taking from it.
And yeah, I thought it was really funny. The three that got left out was Venus, Liz, and Q. I don't know. It just like, those are the three that I would have put on the bottom, and just how the chips fell. But I think that was definitely strategic by everybody jumping on it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So the teams were what? Tiffany, Kinsey, Ben, Hunter, Charlie, and Maria. And then, like you said, Venus, Liz, and Q. So, one thing I thought was odd before we jump into the challenge was Jeff predicted Venus, Q, and Liz to lose the challenge. I don't know if I loved that.
Oh. Yeah, that was interesting. And I think he saved it at the end for me when he was like, you know, if I'm a fan watching at home, this is what I'm thinking, that you guys were like the last pick of the schoolyard, and like my money would be on that you guys would lose. Like, you're
right.
And he saved it there at the end, but I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, Jeff is feeling feisty today.
I hear him, but I feel like as the host, I don't think that's your place to do that and cast doubt into the contestants seconds before they're about to run a very important challenge. Just thought it was, I don't know, didn't love it personally.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was thrown off. I was like, what is Jeff doing? Like, I think he was trying to do as a motivation because maybe they seemed like they didn't have any hope. I don't know, but it definitely, I don't think, came off the way that maybe he was wanting it to 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, last thing before we hop into how the challenge went down. When they picked the teams of three, I know Q approached Charlie and Maria, specifically Charlie, about throwing the challenge to get Hunter out. And neither one of them were really for it. And lo and behold, that's what happened anyway, is that they got Hunter out. But did you think for a second that Charlie and Maria would end up throwing it?
No shot.
Throwing a challenge is yuck, yuck, or whatever. Yes. Charlie said.
Agreed. Especially after Q just had his blunder. I was like, there is no way you were trying to pull this right now. But,
and honestly, I feel like at any point in Survivor, if you have the chance for immunity, if you throw that challenge just in the off chance to try and get somebody out is completely stupid. And at that point, I feel like you deserve to get voted out, because if you have the chance for immunity, you have to go for it.
Exactly. And Q, again, man, just trying to control every aspect of the game. But if you're Charlie and Maria and you have Hunter on your team, you're not throwing because you know you have a pretty dang good shot at immunity if you have Hunter with you.
Absolutely.
So let's jump into it. This challenge was in three phases. And let me just jump into it. So phase one, one at a time. You're going to cross a balance beam and grab a pair of handles. You're going to use those handles to transport a ball across a second balance beam. Once your entire team is across the balance beam, you're going to work together to dig up three rope rungs. The first two groups that finish this phase will move on to the next stage. So the last group would be out of the running for immunity. Second stage, you're going to use the rope rungs that you just dug up to build a rope bridge. Once your team is across the rope bridge, each player in the group is responsible for landing one ball on a small ring. The first group to finish that moves on to the final stage. So stage three is now individual immunity. The trio is going to split up and play their own game. And it's pretty simple. You're going to balance with your feet on a narrow perch. And your hands are going to be on a handle behind your head. If at any point your hands or feet fall off the perch or handles, or your shoulders or butt come off of the wood plank that you're standing against, you are out. And just came down to Hunter, Charlie, and Maria. Charlie won immunity. And Q, Liz, and Venus were not first out. It was actually Kinsey, Tiffany, and Ben that ended up being out first. I liked this challenge, and I also liked that nobody lost their votes, because last season at final nine, three people lost their votes.
So, oh, yeah.
It was a win for me.
That. True. Yeah, I like that. And I really like this challenge for just the twist on, hey, you've got to work with this team, and now all of a sudden you're working against them. And it's quite the mindset shift. So I've always enjoyed this challenge that you got to get to the end, and now all of a sudden you're by yourself. So I was surprised, though, that Charlie beat out Hunter.
Yeah.
I thought he maybe had a little bit of an advantage. Obviously, you're holding yourself up there with your arm, so he's a little bit lighter than Hunter. So I thought that might have been a little bit of an advantage there, but obviously you could tell they were both struggling and just exhausted and tired. But at one point I feel like you could see like Charlie shaking. So he stuck it out. I was impressed.
And they were up there, what, a little over 10 minutes standing on that.
And so,
and that's like obviously classic individual immunity challenge, and it's such a just mental challenge almost more than it is like physically exhausting. I think just having to talk yourself through the pain and just out, like, you don't know how close your opponent is to dropping, so you're like, all right, I gotta stay up because they could be done soon. And I just kind of love the mental game that you have to play with yourself while you're up there.
Yeah, completely mental at that point. How much can you say you can take?
Yep. Sure. So Charlie wins. And this season has been a little weird for me, that I feel like anytime they get back to tribal or back to their camp from a challenge, they all just kind of sit around and nobody really goes off and does anything. And they make it sort of weird and awkward. And Kinsey even said, okay, is anybody volunteering to go home tonight? And made a little dig at Q, but it's like, nobody wants to be the one to, okay, I'm going to go get water, or I'm going to go get wood. They all just kind of sit there and it's really awkward for a minute. But then, you know, it all just breaks loose and kind of scrambling everywhere, but I don't know.
Yeah. I almost wonder if the thought was like, oh, we'll just vote out Q. Cause that's kind of how, like, even when you're watching the challenge, like, everybody was kind of actively rooting against Q's team. So I wonder if that was like the initial thought when they got back to camp was, well, we're voting out Q tonight. But
yeah, Let's break down kind of the handful of different options that came about after the challenge, because it seemed to be a really simple vote. Everybody's voting for Q. Let's just do that. And then Kenzie kind of threw a curveball, and knowing that Tiff has an idol and that got thrown out by Q last episode, Kenzie decided to pull in, was it Hunter, Maria, and Charlie?
Yep.
And I think there was somebody else. Maybe I'm wrong.
Was it Ben?
They pulled in Ben afterward.
Okay. And she was saying that, like, hey, I'm ready to get her out. And I feel like you always have to kind of go after your number one ally at some point. It seemed a little early for me.
I agree.
She saw the opportunity there to go after Tiffany. And so that seemed to be what the plan was for a while. And then I don't remember what switched, where was it Ben saying, because when they approached, I don't remember how all that went down.
So Charlie
that's right,
wanted to talk to Tiffany to try to make her feel comfortable, and in doing that, Tiffany was like, I'm playing this idol tonight. Like, I don't want it. It's going to cause me problems. I just want to get rid of it, which that's when the plans changed. But I actually think that was genius by Tiffany, because I don't think she was ever planning on playing it. I think she was like, I'm going to get you guys off of me. I'm just going to tell you I'm doing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about that for a minute, because that's a bold move. And I almost wonder if that's going to come back. I mean, obviously she has it another week, so it's good for her. But do you think that causes people to trust you less and put a bigger target on your back, saying, hey, you told me you were going to play this and you didn't, and I know you still have it? Or am I overthinking that?
See, I don't know, because odds of her playing it next week are probably pretty high. So I feel like she at least just bought herself a week by playing that way.
Do we know when the last time she can use it is?
I think it's usually final five.
I was thinking five or six.
Yeah. But I'm curious, and we can kind of move on to the other scenarios after this, but I'm curious, since like Tiffany ended up not being a target and Kenzie was the one that brought it up anyway, I'm curious if that's going to come back to bite Kenzie. Because I feel like if you're going to go after your number one, you better go after her. Your number one and actually get it done.
Yeah.
But did Tiffany ever get wind that it was Kenzie or that anybody was coming after her?
I don't think so.
I feel like that fell off of Tiffany pretty quickly when they realized.
I don't think she did. I don't think she ever thought that her name was on the block, but Kenzie or Maria, Charlie, and I guess Maria and Charlie could use that against Kenzie, because Kenzie was like, don't tell anybody that I did this. That's right. Easily something later they could be like, hey, you know that Kenzie was gunning for you last week.
Yeah, that's true.
It's risky.
It's true. Yeah, so then when Tiffany started threatening to play her idol, everything changed and shifted to Hunter. And I feel like Hunter started picking up on that. But I don't know. This is where things just get crazy for me, and I start to get a little frustrated, because you were confident enough to say, I'm pretty much playing my idol because I don't feel comfortable to telling everybody, being Hunter, telling every, well, starting to tell one person, and then those people tell everybody, and then you continue to tell people, hey, I have an idol and I'm playing it tonight, we're doing this. And he even made a comment in there about wanting to not just use his idol for safety, but also to use that in making a big move and kind of shifting the game in his favor. And I feel like this is the interesting part about the hidden immunity idols, is because there is such power there. And if you can use it in the perfect way to not only keep yourself safe, but to use that to get somebody else out and shift the game in your favor, it's so tempting. But that's where it comes to bite people. And it's like, if he would have just shut his mouth and not told anybody and then just played it, I also think, like, when you get down to it, in Tribal, he was feeling pretty uneasy. I mean, he continued to ask people over and over and over again, who are you voting for? Who are you voting for? At that point, that is your sign. Play your dang idol.
Play your idol. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, play your freaking idol. And the lure of, oh, I could have it one more week. That'll give me one step closer. It's like, I look at that as two worst case scenarios. There's really three scenarios. You can play it and be safe. You can play it and not need it, which is a worst case scenario. Or you cannot play it and go home.
Yeah.
And okay, out of those three options, there's one option that you cannot let happen. Is going home with the idol in your pocket, especially if you're feeling uneasy already. Take the L and play it, even if you don't need it. Like, that's not the worst case scenario. So I don't understand how people go home with the idol in their pocket, unless it's a total, complete blindside. And this one was not.
Yeah, I was kind of under the impression in that Hunter telling people that he had the idol, like, felt like more of a panic than any sort of strategy. The way that he was acting at Tribal told me that he does not have a good pulse on what's going on in the game. I don't think he had a good pulse on what was going on in the game when Tevin got voted out. And I think this goes back to Nami not having to play and Hunter just kind of sleepwalking through the game.
For sure.
Because I'm with you. Like, if you're still sitting at Tribal and you're like having to like whisper and like get everybody's attention, you got an idol in your pocket. Like, 9 out of 10 players would have I think anybody else sitting at that Tribal Council would have played an idol if they were in Hunter's shoes.
Yeah. And, I mean, in a way, he kind of deserved to go home because he didn't play it. Like, you both have said, if you're that uneasy, you have to play it. Yes. All that, like Blake said, the lure of one more week, let's get one more week. The matter of the fact is, if you're not feeling safe and you have the option to make it one more day, use that option now.
And the frustrating thing about, like, oh, I could have it one more week if I save it tonight, Hunter should also know, like, I have a pretty good idea that I'm going to win immunity. Because there's really nothing that he's done in the game so far from a challenge perspective that's made you think he wasn't going to win immunity. So play it, guarantee your safety, and just make sure that you either win immunity again or find the new idol that got planted on the island.
Yeah. And the way that the season's going, it's not like there's one group of people that is running the show. Like, everything is being switched up every single episode. Every single day, there's a new top and a new bottom. So, you know, it's one thing to play your idol and be safe, and then you get voted out again next week. And that very well could have happened, but
you made it to top eight rather than top nine.
Well, that, and there's enough shaken up right now that who knows what's going to happen. Like, I don't know.
And I guess in that way of him being on the bottom and wanting to save that in case he needs it for later, I think being on the bottom there really played into that and wanting to have that for future, but I don't know.
And I think Tevin's vote and him being voted out last week was kind of a detriment to Hunter, because I mean, Tevin was like his number one, and being
Tevin was doing all the work.
Well, that, and he was left out of that vote. So he is like, okay, left out of this vote. I clearly did not have a good pulse on the game. Now all of a sudden I feel uneasy. But do I need to feel uneasy? Like, am I just paranoid because Tevin was blindsided? Like, I feel like if that was anybody else other than Tevin, he may not have been so uneasy about it, and he may still have gone home, but I feel like that's where some of the paranoia may have come from. But again, if you're that paranoid, play your dang idol. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I honestly think the place that he went wrong from the get-go was telling everybody that he had the idol. I understand. Like, I feel like he said at one point that he was wanting to try and use that to help build trust and build an alliance so he can make it farther because he was on the bottom. But if it were me, I don't know if I would tell anybody. It's just, I don't know.
I think it's also, it's annoying. They gave him an opportunity, like, because they were like, well, maybe he's bluffing. And they had votes on cue as well. So it was like, hey, if he plays his idol, you will just go home. So, which is different than what happened last season, which was good to see. But I don't even know where I was going with this point. But I don't know. It's frustrating. It's just like, I don't know. That's like a move that would have been made like when immunity idols were new. It would have been like James getting voted out with two idols in his pocket. It shouldn't happen now.
Yeah.
And again, I think this is a totally different blunder than being completely blindsided with an idol in your pocket. Not even knowing that it's coming. Not being paranoid at all, feeling totally safe, and then boom, out of nowhere. Fair. I get that. But man, it left me incredibly frustrated. And to see, this is throwing shots a little bit at who's left, but to see somebody like Hunter who, and maybe it's just because I really like the guy, but to see him leave when you have, so there's eight people left and half of them I think are not playing good games. In my opinion, you've got Venus who has been oblivious. I mean, she's landing on the right side of the votes, but I still think she's oblivious to what's going on. You have Liz who just started playing last episode. You have Ben who hasn't really done much of anything, even though I really like the guy.
And then he's there for a good time.
And then you have Q, who is just a disaster right now. It's like there are four people left in the top eight that are like, and I'm going to be really disappointed if any one of those four win.
unless something changes down the road and it kind of really flips around. But I would agree with you. Yes.
I don't. My concern at this point is just based off of some of the things that people were saying about Q, like if Q gets the end, I'm not voting for him. My concern now is that Q is going to the end, so he can be there to not get votes. And I don't think Ben really has it in him to make any sort of moves. I think he's literally just chilling. Venus, like, she's trying. I think Liz has the potential to turn it around, but there's a long way to go. And, like, there's already... The only cracks that I haven't seen are from Charlie and Maria.
Yeah, they are definitely leading this thing. And I think the front runners, and nobody really sees it. I mean, I say that. I don't think anybody sees how close the two of them are, which is impressive. But what, now that we're at tribal, what did you guys think of Jeff at the tribal? I know we didn't really like the little comments and banter at the challenge, but I'm just curious your guys' take on Jeff at tribal.
I thought he was pretty good. I didn't mind some of the banter he had or his shots that he was taking or just the fun he was having with it. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate this one like I did on the challenge.
Yeah, I liked the cushion and the popcorn. I thought it was harmless fun.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody got a snack too. He shared the popcorn. So
Liz ate something in 72 hours.
Yeah. He basically said, and I want to apologize because last week I was not, or last episode yesterday, wasn't prepared for it. And I came prepared today. You will not catch me slipping again. So brought out the cushion, which was hilarious. And then the popcorn. And then when he started sharing the popcorn, I was like, oh, that is a really small bowl. But I have really enjoyed, other than that little comment at the challenge, I've really enjoyed the banter between the contestants and Jeff this season. It's been really fun. To where it doesn't seem so structured and you really get to see some personality there.
Yeah, I would agree.
Do we, you want to talk about how the vote went down?
Let's do it. So we've got, let's see. Everybody votes. Nobody plays an idol. I know Tiff was threatening to play her idol. Hunter did not play his idol. And it comes down to Q versus Hunter. It's all the way down, 8-8, one vote left. And whose name is written down? Ben. And we find out later that the only person to write Ben's name down was Q. Why did he write Ben's name down? I have no idea. I feel like that was a comment at some point. I think Hunter threw out Ben's name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I was like, that pretty much told me nobody has talked to Q about anything since that moment. He has no idea what's going on. So he was very clearly left out. But because there was a tie, they all had to vote again. Hunter and Q could not vote. And you could only vote for Hunter or Q. And at that point, Hunter can't play his idol now. And once it was tied and they revoted, I feel like we all knew what was going to happen.
Yep.
And there were still a couple Q votes, I think one or two. But, I mean, everything landed on Hunter. And, oh. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, I was sad to see him go. And like we've said, he if he would have just played his freaking idol. But it I didn't understand Q's vote for Ben. I know they talked about that at one point, but it was just, I guess he was just so disconnected. Nobody's talked to him, like you said, but it was just like, where did that come from? But I don't know. I hated the ending, Hunter going home. I really liked Hunter. So
yeah, unfortunate to see him go, but I mean, really his own fault at the end of the day.
Yep.
But how the episode played out, I thought it was just going to be like slam dunk. Q goes home. We move on with our day. But yeah, Hunter goes home and he's the third straight Nami player to get voted out.
The one thing that I did you guys catch whenever they were talking about voting Q out? And I was like, let's just do Q. Kenzie was like, but that's the easy thing to do. I liked that. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
I think that it was great. Like that's the easy thing to do, not the bigger play or to make it interesting and keep it all, like keep the game changing. I don't know. I enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenzie's definitely playing for sure.
I enjoyed it too. But I feel like I probably in that situation, like I probably would have voted for Q. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm like, dude, like I would rather, like I know Hunter is a big threat, a bigger threat to win the game than Q is at this point, but Q just seems to be like not even enjoyable to be around at this point.
And he's just gonna create chaos for your game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, Hunter's not going to win all of the rest of the immunity challenges. I mean, Charlie showed this week that he's beatable. So it's like, okay, let's get the crazy out of the game and not have so much chaos. Because it'd be one thing if people were still willing to work with Q. And they're very clearly not. They're just using him as a shield, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I've calmed down a little bit since finishing the episode, but I don't know. This season has frustrated me a little bit with how chaotic I feel like everybody's playing, and maybe it's not as dramatic as I'm making it out to be, but I don't know. I feel like there's people that are, I don't know, I'm thinking of like Liz and Venus who are trying really hard but just not getting it done. And then there's the calm side, which is Charlie and Maria. And then there's like everybody else in between who are like, I'll throw shots at anybody just to make it another day. And while there's strategy in that, you're playing in the moment. And I mean, I guess it makes for good TV, but I like to see more long-term thinking. And I feel like the only people we're seeing that from right now is Charlie and Maria.
Yeah. I think it's a double-edged sword, the way that this season's playing out with the way strategy is. But because it does just feel like I don't really know who's in charge here, but I kind of like it. And not to like, I feel like I brought up last season, like, six times already this episode, but like last season every week we were like, okay, who's getting voted out on, you know, the side that's not the Reba four. Yep. So I kind of like that everybody seems to be a target at some point in the episode. Even though, like, it may not make a ton of sense, but.
And I agree. I think I desperately want the three best players to sit at the end. Just being a fan of
and I guess technically they do because they make it to the end, but I don't know. I like, oh, let's get out the strong players now. I don't know. As I'm talking through that, it doesn't quite make sense, but.
And I still think there's a chance that the three best players can. Because I think, I mean, I would put Charlie and Maria, Kinsey and Tiffany, like four out of eight that are, like, I think, worthy of being crowned the winner.
Sure.
So, like, it's still possible, but.
Yeah. No, and I completely agree. I'm going to be left very disappointed, I guess is the right word, if the final four, based on how we're sitting now, and obviously a lot could change, but if the final four are Ben, Q, Liz, and Venus, I'm going to be left a little let down by this.
If that happens, we're not watching the rest of this. Because that means something went terribly wrong.
And yeah. And I hate to be that dramatic. And as a fan of the show, I'm still going to watch the show, but it's going to leave me like, what in the world are we doing here? Like, you guys were clearly the better players and you couldn't come together and knock everybody else out. I don't know. That's,
yeah.
And I don't think that is actually going to happen, but I'm going to be very let down if it does.
Oh yeah. No, there's nothing worse, like, than watching an entire season of Survivor just to see, like, Sophie win it or something. I mean, shots fired at her, I guess.
Yeah. But it's definitely been fun, and been done with this season or this episode for a couple hours now, and it has been, what am I trying to say, I do like the emotion that this season is giving me, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, went from like ultra confused to incredibly frustrated to like laughing to seeing like Kinsey and Ben hold hands during his panic attack. Like, there's been a lot of different emotions in this season, and I've really, really enjoyed that. So from that aspect, it's been a wonderful season. I really enjoyed the people as people, just not necessarily as players.
I get what you mean by that. It's definitely been a little bit different, but it's good.
For sure.
We good for Survivor of the Week?
Well, yeah. Before we do that, I probably need to pick another winner, if that's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to lose for a third time, go ahead.
Third time's the charm. Hey, my third stuck last season.
Yeah.
About to turn my mentioning of last season into a drinking game at this point.
Wait, you're not?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm very clearly between two, and I'm gonna go with Charlie.
I like it.
I was between Charlie and Maria, and honestly, either one of them. I mean, I could. It's a toss up, a coin flip. But I'm gonna go with Charlie.
So, Blake, Charlie, me, Maria, Logan, Tiffany, and Logan is the only one that is still on his original pick.
Yep. And as soon as Tiffany's name got brought up, I got pretty nervous, knowing she has the idol. Obviously, she could have played that, but was a little nervous there. And if I was thinking, okay, if she gets voted out, my pick was going to be Charlie. So I think you're right in line there, Blake, and could have been Maria. It toss up there, but yeah.
How good are you feeling about your pick still?
I still like it. I do think her and either Kinsey or I think she needs to make a move. I think she's obviously still a great player and playing a great game, but would love to see a move be done by her and just to kind of help that case. But I'm still happy with it. A little upset that obviously the idol got put out in the open. So a bummer there, but I definitely think she's still in a good position.
Who you got for Survivor of the Week?
For me, Survivor of the Week, I'm going to go with Charlie. I think him winning the immunity challenge and beating Hunter, obviously that caused Hunter to go home. I think that was a big, big moment for him. So I'm going to say Charlie.
Yep. I like that pick. That's probably who I would have picked as well. I'm going to go with Tiffany this week because I mentioned it earlier. I think her telling Charlie, like, I'm going to just play my idol because it's really causing more issues than it is helping me at this point. And like her just simply saying that seemed to get them off of voting for her. And I think that that's, even though like she didn't know that they were gunning for her, I think that's just really impressive that she even had the thought to say that. And maybe she didn't even realize she did that, but that's what I felt like happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the two picks for sure. Charlie, I mean, hands down. I don't always like picking the same as somebody else, but I feel like I have to give it to him. I mean, going up against Hunter, who has been a challenge beast, and beating him in a fairly physical challenge, I mean, that is why Hunter went home. I mean, that's not why, but without that, if Hunter would have won, he obviously would not have gone home. And so Charlie played a very pivotal role in that. I mean, he's landing on, I don't know, I think he's just setting himself up really well. So I'm going to go with Charlie.
I definitely awesome. Think that's the best pick, but
yep.
Do we think that idol is going to get put back into play from Hunter?
I think so.
I do.
I think there's still time for somebody to find it and make a move with it.
If that's Venus, I'm going to lose it.
One thing I do like this season is that the advantages seem to be very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Well, we are in for a wild ride. With as many people as we have left, there's probably, so we have 8 people left. It's probably, what, 5 more episodes at most?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4 episodes?
I think 4, because the final episode is usually final 5.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, we are coming up on the end, and I feel like there's still so much game left to play. So final 5 obviously always gets crazy, but at that point, things have kind of calmed down. So I think the next 3 weeks are going to be a trip for sure. So,
yep.
Well, Brandon, where does everybody find us?
Find us on social media at Merch Feast Pod on YouTube. Why can't I remember our handle? I think it's the Merch Feast. Great plug there.
And you got it to where those videos are not private anymore, correct?
Yes.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, join us next week. I'm sure it's going to be another wild ride, and excited to come back next week and discuss with everybody. So unless anybody has anything else, I think it's time to say goodbye, Logan.
Goodbye, Logan.